That's probably one of the most awesome things I've said on this show. not gonna lie.
So modest.
Totally, dude. Totally.
Yeah, JD is one humble asshole.
That is right. When you look up humble,
is it a picture of his asshole?
It is. Goatsy. JD.
A modest Goatsy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, JD, for Halloween this year, you should cosplay as Goatsy.
A demure Goatsy.
I'm trying to think about how I would do that, because that would be awesome.
Okay, I think I got it. You'd have to, like, build an ass suit.
Mm-hmm.
And then the hole would be where your face is.
Right. Oh, God, the face coming through it.
Well, not coming through it.
That's,
I mean, it would,
what you do.
It would be, you know, a little bit back, so it would just be, you know, people would be looking into the anus to see your face.
No, no, I think the better way to go about it is to use, like, some Spanx and mod them to, like, a giant fake hole. And so when they ask, well, who are you? Well, then you just bend over and you do the pose.
Oh, okay.
And you have to get the right gold ring.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
A prosthetic asshole is really the key to this costume.
Ken,
well, that's
like
what I was thinking, too. It's just in my version, the prosthetic asshole is in front of your face.
Right.
Makes it easier to walk around with it.
Right.
Whole new meaning to butthead.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I think our 2 minutes in the show, we've already come up with the term prosthetic asshole.
Prosthetic asshole. Someone tweet that.
I am on it.
Standing by. Complete. This is superhero time with XV.
I can find a crack.
Hey, Mickey.
Tropical like a cream, bitch.
Paladin.
My ass is a hippo!
JD Church.
That's my line, you fat.
Ken.
God, somebody shoot me.
And Fort Max.
Oh, hush.
What are we going to start our show with?
Prosthetic asshole?
Yeah. That's exactly what we're going to start the... We are going to start the superhero time with prosthetic asshole, because this is superhero time, and that's what we do.
Yeah, we do.
We do prosthetic assholes.
We have the technology. We can rebuild this asshole.
We can make it faster. Faster, stronger, more alive.
So what's in the news?
I have no idea.
Hey, that cool other
that
Toku
weekend,
thing.
What?
What?
That other Toku thing is going to be a thing.
What?
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 I don't know. Whatever it was in Tyson Z. The
what?
Ugly cyborg thing with all the colors.
Kyder?
Really? That's what you're leading off with?
No, I'm just saying.
He's leading off with this thing that he has no idea what it is or what it means.
Okay, but at the end of Superior Tyson Z, there was a teaser saying they're doing a new Key Kyder, and it's apparently going to be this fall. That's all we know.
Right.
Exciting. Great. Now, let's leave the news at the Paladin now.
Sorry.
Paladin?
Okay, Bluefin confirmed their San Diego Comic-Con exclusives. First off is a set of 3 stands. For Figure Lords, Red Ranger, Green Ranger, and one that hasn't yet been announced, but they have confirmed is not Kiba Ranger.
Well, it may have been announced now because we've seen pictures of armed Red Ranger,
which is the likely candidate for the third stand, but hasn't been confirmed quite yet.
Well, could it be the Pink Ranger? Because they've already announced that to be released too.
What they said with the stand thing was that it was for a figure that had not been announced at that time.
Oh, okay. Pink Ranger had been announced.
Right.
So Pink Ranger's not getting a stand, so her.
So, yeah, it's probably
the girl and shit.
Murder Red Ranger.
And also, all her coming her back anyway.
And also other exclusive metallic set of Shinkingers.
For $200, the full team.
Hmm.
Well,
that's,
the main 5.
That's expensive, but not offensively so. I mean,
it's expensive until you consider that all the Shinkinger figure arts in Japan, except for Red and Gold, were exclusives and are very expensive now on Mandarake.
I want that.
That, yeah.
Well, the thing is, $200 is still a lot of scratch to spend all at one time, whether it's a good deal or not.
You're already spending the scratch to go to Comic-Con.
Yeah, it's just a drop in the bucket.
Well, sure, when you're rich.
Well, look, you just go around. You know how many guys at Comic-Con want blowjobs? I mean, seriously, you have that in like 30 minutes.
Yeah, but, the cheese?
Regardless, they look good.
Way to try to deflect, Ken.
The figure art. The figure art. Ken's over there. I'm like, wow, Ken. I mean, that's a very particular taste in cock that I didn't know you had. I prefer my cock covered in, like,
shrieks.
I want it to look like dick cheese.
I very much want those.
I've got this amazing pain behind my right eye right now. I may be crying blood, I'm not sure.
What is your bumper that says the internet's most offensive podcast about children's television?
Oh, it's true. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Hang on, I'm getting that added to the list.
Oh. What's your podcast about? Well, like Power Rangers and stuff like that. Really? Yeah, it's okay. We talk about dick cheese and prosthetic asshole.
We all got a lot of spagma jokes into our show.
And Tony Ghettos.
Oh, it's all smegma and rape jokes. Prosthetic asshole. I'm okay now.
No, you're not.
No. I'm in the head, but whatever.
So the figures look good.
Thank you.
Yeah, they look okay.
We also did see a couple other new figure arts this week, aside from Armored Red, which we all knew was coming anyway, and will be out in November. It's web exclusive, but Bluefin should pick it up for here.
Oh, I'm certain.
No, we just need...
We'll get an Armor Black, too.
We just need the exclusive...
Yeah, no,
we should.
We need the exclusive unarmored green now to, balance it out.
Both versions.
Yeah, with the armbands and without.
Apparently you can do that yourself.
Not
but
the armband.
There's a big ugly screw hole in the back.
Yeah. Someone's going to break that shield trying. I know
well, it. so does your mom, Fort Max.
Yeah, I think I saw somebody tweet that today. And somebody's like, you know what? Somewhere. Some asshole's going to break that thing and be like...
Well, they should release the unarmored Green Ranger with a removable cloth shield.
Well, yeah.
That's the American version.
I'm trying to encourage Gigabeetle to quilt his own shield for Figure Arts Green. Not going so well so far.
No.
I think he denied my food challenge too, which is sad.
Which was your food challenge?
Tuna and peanut butter on rye.
Well, he was probably right to do so. He said he didn't want to do any more challenges this month anyway.
It's just like,
give his stomach time to recover.
Those flavors you know would taste terrible together, but it's incomprehensible in the brain as to how it would taste terrible. You just know it would be disgusting.
So basically you want to inflict this on him just so you can have somebody tell you how horrible you already knew it would be.
That's what I got.
But it's unknowable.
You know what
horrible.
Kind of horrible it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I appreciate the science aspect of this. I just want to be clear on what we're proposing here.
Well, it doesn't matter if he's not going to do it anyway, so.
Well, yeah.
It will remain a mystery.
Well, just give it a month or two and, resubmit it. He won't know the difference.
So what other figure arts news do we have?
Figure Arts Kyoru Red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They gave him the right colored joints this time, didn't they?
Yeah.
And it comes with an in-scale beast battery, which is a terrible idea.
Yeah.
It's no worse an idea than the Ranger keys the Gokaigers came with.
But and his proportions
are a terrible idea. What?
His proportions actually do look right this time around, so.
Yeah. Come on, it's going to get wild, you know, if you get that figure art.
Yeah, sure.
But it didn't have any of the arm effect parts. At least not so far.
Exclusive!
I mentioned that his arms are textured, scaled, instead of just tampered.
Yeah, that is a nice touch.
There's a lot of texture on that figure, actually.
It is a very good-looking figure, and it's $40 I can spend elsewhere.
Yeah.
I totally want it. But I'm a sucker, so that doesn't really say anything.
You can just have him riding your Beast Driver.
Oh, yeah, I sold that.
So now you no longer have to justify watching Wizard?
No, I'm totally...
left anyway?
Yeah, there's not that many. But I still, you know, Wizard is I mean, I this week's episode's not up yet, but...
So, JD's tried to finish that statement four times already.
Wizard is.
And he hasn't been able to.
A thing that's almost happening, you know.
Wizard is ellipses.
Oh, that tells you how much I love it. Totally.
Or something. Or, it certainly says something about you and or Wizard.
It's definitely a show that's on.
On Sunday mornings.
Yep.
When there's not golf.
Yep. Comes on after Sentai.
Definitely a Kamen Rider show.
Comes on before Precure. That's about it. It's there.
It is.
I kind of want this Dino 2-pack.
Right. Why? Another web exclusive we heard about this week for October. Or November. The Rod form and Gun form together. Because nobody would buy those separate.
I might buy them separately.
Mm-hmm. Well, you
can't. I like. And then Rod form just looks really nice.
Pretty good that they're sandwiching them together so they can get on to better stuff.
Like wing form.
I said better.
You know,
Gal form?
I'm still really surprised we haven't seen Deno Super Climax yet.
Didn't we?
I don't think.
Thought we did. No, that was an exclusive.
Isn't that like a convention exclusive or something?
Was it? If it was, I totally missed it.
It's come. I think it's come and gone.
I totally missed that.
I'm pretty sure that came out already.
Or was the defects parts that you could add on to Climax form?
Either way, it still came out.
I don't remember it at all.
Okay, there's also a Lucky Draw Akiba Red figure art coming out, too.
I presume
that's
the spoilers one?
I don't know.
It's spoilers.
Damn it. Okay.
So he gets booster form.
Or he gets the Chaos Emeralds.
It's his hyper mode. Like in G Gundam.
Let's just leave it at that.
Akagi went Super Saiyan.
Okay, moving away from Figuart stuff. SIC is releasing Kamen Rider Cyclone.
Okay.
Who?
From the novel.
Oh.
It's like Joker, but it's Cyclone.
Gotcha.
It's a green double.
It should have been Fang.
It is.
And
not to be confused with Kamen Rider Double Cyclone.
Right, that one's got a line down the middle.
Yes, that one has a silver line down the middle.
Also, it also wears a double driver instead of a lost driver.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Important details.
That makes sense.
But see, I thought for Cyclone they should have invented a new variation on the driver that has the port on the other side.
Yeah.
Just to mix that
on the back.
Yes, on the back.
Like Clay Doll?
Yeah.
Right.
That's it exactly.
Meanwhile, SIC also announced they have plans to do the Greed from O's.
Holy shit. Those are going to look f***ing awesome.
And probably f***ing expensive, too.
Probably. Still.
Though if they keep this up and they ever get around to Forza, SIC horoscopes would be amazing.
But we still never got the SIC Futokun.
Sad.
And that's just a crime.
Now, here's what I want to know. Would they also have SIC versions of the I'm not sure how to put this. When they didn't have enough core metals that...
When
they
weren't wearing all their clothes.
Yeah.
The naked forms. I'm sure you could take them apart.
Give them removable armor?
Yeah, the way SICs are built, I'd be surprised if that wasn't possible.
Of course, SIC UVA is just like the same as regular UVA.
Yeah.
They'd just be there. Nothing different, nothing interesting.
Well, they have a drawn picture of him.
And it looks like UVA.
Yeah. With longer spikes.
Well, it's just
what
like...
What are tentacles on SIC Missoula going to look like? Shit.
Hot.
You know, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to back Mickey up on this one.
Wasn't she younger than Amy from Kyoryuger, too?
Well, they're not doing the SIC of the human form.
That we know of.
And I'm sure the dude in the Mezul suit was, you know, 35 or 40.
Please.
So, you know, it's all cool.
Well, how old was the dude in the human form?
No.
O's. It's plural.
So, nose.
Right.
I don't miss those puns.
I bet Paladin does.
Not that much.
I wonder what kind of catchphrase or odd wordplay there will be with Gaim for him to latch onto.
Oh, God.
Get your Gaim on.
Ugh.
Oh. Well,
it's okay.
I
guarantee they won't do worse than that.
Gaim rhymes with an awful lot.
Gaim time?
There you go.
They already have Showtime this year, so...
They had Spacetime last year.
Depending on your translation.
Well, whatever the case may be, I still have the ruins jokes for everybody thing set up, so we're good.
Yay!
Hooray.
Calm down, Paladin.
So, any more news?
Just some rumors about the actor probably playing Kyoru Violet next month. So, yeah, not really.
Okay, then.
Oh, there what, didn't they also,
Chew,
yes.
Chew, 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 chew. Way to eat on the show, Ken.
What? Especially mid-sentence.
See, that just seems like bad planning.
Yeah.
I got my mute button mixed up between what side it was on.
Let's see, is my mute button on the... Is my mute button over here, or is it the food in my hand?
Wait, so your plan was to start a sentence and then mute yourself halfway through? So you could take a bite?
Oh, don't mind me, I think the medicine's getting to my head. Go on.
I'm gonna ask a question.
Say.
Chomp, 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 mute.
I forgot what the f*** I was going to say now.
Mission accomplished.
Well, I can guess who's not going to be doing an episode summary this week.
It's
me.
Let's give it to Akiba. That'll be fun.
All right, Ken, go for Akiba Ranger.
Oh, really?
Mickey's idea.
Just a second. Where the hell were we? Because the episode went up really early, actually.
On Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah, I was like, at first I was confused by that. And then I went, oh yeah, there was nothing else.
Yeah. What was it? Golf?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, golf.
There's only two left, right?
Yeah, well... One,
yeah,
this.
Maybe one.
It's already aired.
Maybe one in a goof.
That probably another recap.
Yeah.
Port Max.
What?
Stop breathing. Hold your breath, please. For at least the next 2 hours.
I can hold my breath for a long time.
Right. So anyway.
Come on. Somebody's got to get that reference.
I don't. And I usually get everything.
Nope. God.
Okay. Fort Max doesn't even get that reference, JD. Do you realize what you've done?
Mickey should get that.
I think you just made it up.
The Keeper Rangers get yanked out of the Illusion World as soon as Dale Knight's about ready to chop their heads off. And it turns out that the Super Sentai series has, well, sort of vanished. Instead, it's now been replaced by the Super Malshina series, complete with a parody of the title screen from, well, a parody of Kyoryuger.
I would totally watch the Super Malshina series.
I know. So it's apparently about Malshina being the main villainess of every series, and her enemies are the Super Sentai of each.
Now wait,
you
if
know,
Malshina
after...
is both the head villain, well, it's in Denji Man and Sun Vulcan, that means starting with about episode 8, you have two Malshinas.
Oh God.
Yes.
You know, after 37 years of being the main villain, you gotta think, she's got some pretty good plastic surgery going on.
Well, no, because she won't age until she hits 55.
We've discussed this, Japanese aging.
Okay, but she should have already hit about 55 if she'd been doing it for, you know, 37 or so years.
She started when she was 13. Sure. Go with that.
Anyway.
Why not? Most actresses in Sentai do. Oh, regardless, the cafe has now turned into, well, funeral home, basically.
The helmets have napkins on their heads.
The secret graveyard. And it is a very depressing place. So they run off to the Delusion World to try and defeat Malshina, where Devil Knight is doing her nails. through her gloves. Yeah. but then she has them try to recall their memories, or at least Akagi and Yuko. And they remember basically the last quarter of the previous series that they are a TV show being manipulated by Hatai Saburo. And they were canceled.
And then I begin to rejoice because I realize this series hasn't completely shit on the first season.
Nope. The first thing, of course, Akagi remembers is fondling her.
Yeah. I remember touching her boobs. it was awesome.
But as it turns out, when Malshina had a choice to first enter their world, there was two portals. And she chose to originally go to...
Well, she went through the first one that appeared.
Yeah, the first one that appeared, and that wound up in the quote-unquote Akiba Ranger real world. The other one apparently went to the real world. And
has anyone fact-checked this? Were there two portals?
There were. In episode 6 of season 1.
I vaguely remember being two...
In the classroom set.
Yeah, I vaguely remember there being two portals, because like at the time I was like, why is there two? And then like didn't think about it.
Yeah,
again.
This was the episode where they went to Toei Studios.
Yeah, then they never mentioned because she was on the Forza set. On the Forza set.
So did they plan this far ahead, or are they just picking up some kind of loophole that was left open?
Or because it could be something they left in case they had another season.
Yeah, it's probably, I think that's more likely.
And Akiba Ranger is headed by the guy who was a head writer for Kuga, so...
You gotta think, they were thinking, okay, if we do this ending, it's going to be very hard to do a sequel, so let's leave an out somewhere.
Yeah.
And that seems to be what they did. So everybody, well, Yuko and Akagi anyway, remember everything from the previous season, including Dr. Z, and basically them getting canceled. So she went to the real world, manipulated the Hatai Saburo, who is laid up in the hospital, and allowed a second season to take place. Only something went awry, and Hatai Saburo's consciousness basically materialized General Pain, who once again made her a subordinate.
Because awesome. Apparently Malshina's whole plan was to get a second season so that she could be the boss again.
Mm-hmm.
The boss at all.
Yeah. Which apparently.
And then, God damn it, I'm not the boss. This sucks.
So she turned it to her advantage, complete with a quick scene of her beating the shit out of Decker Red in Agent Barrett's costume. And she went through every Sentai series and defeated the heroes with General Pain's knowledge. Whoops.
Yeah. How was it that she said she was able to get in? She was able to get into the Sentai.
Shh.
Oh. Well. Sorry.
Okay. Sorry.
And she tries to say, "This is a great thing. Now we can, you know, do whatever, and you can be around for as long as you want." And then Kaki's like, "But then all of the heroes have, you know what? F- it, we're fighting." So they fight. And Dylan Knight starts to kick their asses. Up until the point where Malshina gives him a piece of paper, says she's out, and then he recites that whole thing of, "Before I kill you, let me tell you this."
It was awesome.
My wife and my son.
Let's back it to 1 second. I really like Kamashina's plan here. Is evil, but it's kind of altruistic a little bit, where she's doing it to benefit both sides, keep them both in action.
Mostly herself, though.
Mostly herself, but she's still looking out for them a little bit.
A little bit. Just a bit, smidge.
I mean, she likes them enough to keep them around. She just wants to win.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
As long as she can, you know.
Well, of course, if they're not around, there's no Akiba Ranger left.
Right. No one to fight. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, Devil Knight has successfully tripped not one, not two, but three defeat flags. So, hey, of course, now they can, you know, blow him away, right? So they summon the cannon and get knocked on their asses.
Yep.
Oops.
Which should not happen. So they get sent back, and then Malshina completely drops the fourth wall and starts talking to the audience.
Yeah.
Yes. Are you tired of dangling plot threads of them doing whatever they want to do, of half-assed
retools
and you asking what is this garbage?
Oh man, I almost cried when they they know.
Of course they know.
Do you harbor long-standing grudges against Jenga?
It's important to note that, like, one of the showrunners besides Arakawa did work on Ghost Ager, and it did have its own retool, apparently. We just, nobody paid attention to the fact because nobody
Because also, Ghost Ager.
Also, the way it worked, it was structured pretty well to have the three different enemy factions was planned from the start, so those were just perfect places to overhaul things.
Yeah, unlike Go Busters, which was rough.
Mm-hmm.
A lube.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, she just completely goes through the fourth wall there. And thus, back home, the girls basically up and quit, which to be, they suspect. Even Yuka says, this is probably planned by Marashina too, but whatever. While Akagi has seen little girls looking up to Marashina and wanting to be just like her, which is like, y'all want to be porn stars? Okay. Not a good role model.
Well, if she had a 37-year career in Super Sentai, she probably didn't have to do the porn thing beforehand.
She didn't have to. She just did it anyway because it's fun.
Oh, well, yeah, but if she was 13 when she started, that's just kind of, you know.
Of course,
not
in the real
beforehand,
world,
during hand.
In the real world, things are not going great because, well, Dante Sabro is trying to die.
Oh.
And Malshina realizes that's going to be a very bad thing for us if that happens. So
she has to go back home and feed her digital pet.
Yes. While Akagi is hiding out in his closet.
Wearing a Tyranno Ranger shirt and crying.
Yes. That was awesome.
And his mom's yelling at him.
I love that he lives with his mom.
And all of Yuko's Yaoi Dojin have turned into Malshina Dojin, which
she is very upset about.
Yes. After 37 years, can you imagine how much lewd Malshina Dojin there is? I mean, come on.
I'm hard to imagine how much there is now after just 1 year.
Yeah.
And now multiply that by 37. Shit.
I don't think that's a multiplication. I think it's actually an exponential.
But, you know, the older ones are really hard to find.
Yeah. You know,
because, well, and you add in all the Malshina x Malshina fic.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, whatever happened to us getting Gobblast to do that segment for us?
Well, I told him do it, and I haven't heard anything more on it.
We'll have to pester him more.
I think he assumed when he suggested it to you that nothing would ever come of it.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, yeah, that's great. We'll totally.
So
fix that problem.
We fixed the glitch.
Akagi gets a call from Hakase, and he just immediately hangs up on her. So then his mom throws his Zikune at him, where he can now overhear the girls apparently having gone back to the Delusion World to fight Devil Knight. Of course, there is no Malshina there presently, because I guess she is trying to keep Hade Saburo from dying and erasing all of them from existence, more than likely. So they're fighting, and Yellow gets her ass kicked completely, and so does Blue, but she puts up a better fight for a while until she gets tossed into the lake. The ocean. Did Kobayashi write this episode? Because, of course, the end of the series, she's getting tossed into an ocean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed that.
Just saying. So she
nice homage.
In the process of trying to stand up and, you know, saying how she actually started to enjoy all of this nonsense, she then trips the "let me tell you something before I die" the victory flag for Delonite, and ends up beating him quite well, which makes Akagi realize something as he now runs in there, or walks in, strides in, rather badass moment.
Yeah.
Until he starts insulting everybody and uses the girls as shields.
Awesome.
And ask Hakusei to marry him.
Yep.
Which she's like, "What the f- is? What are you on?" And with that, he defeats Delonite.
Pistol whipping him.
Yeah.
Just running up, smack,
smack, dead. So it appears that in Malshina's modified delusion world, victory flags are reversed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They switched polarities.
Yeah, Malshina does show up, and is like, but that's not actually too important yet, because then Hakusei turns around to Kazkaz and is like, "Oh yeah, there's something I need to show you." And the scorpion runs right up into her skull. To be continued.
Record scratch.
And she starts to glow, and then, oh god, it's the Bandora song sung by Malshina.
Yay! Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. When that came on, Amanda was watching it with me, and she was like, she came on, she was like, "Oh god, it's the song." I was like, "Yeah, I know."
It's like almost more important than the cliffhanger. It's a fucking Bandora song. Didn't somebody ask about that like a few weeks ago? It's like, when are they going to do that one?
Yep.
And so they did.
There you go.
First, you have to imagine in Malshina's modified world that did actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yes, now everybody knows everything except Luna, but thing is, she wasn't here last season. But Akagi.
And she doesn't know anything anyway.
Yes. And what the f*** is going on with Hakusei?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, that'll
so
be for next week.
This episode's really kind of turned my opinion of the season around.
Mm-hmm.
Because, honestly, up until this episode, I was kind of not really liking what they've done.
Is it kind of one of those things where, like, oh, now I see what they were doing?
Yes. I mean, at least I see now that there was a point to what was going on.
Yeah.
I still don't care for the way it was handled without any kind of clue that there's a bigger plan. I'd like to see some kind of hint all for a reason.
Well, I think that the first episode alone kind of did that.
Yeah.
Because you could see that they were definitely acknowledging, oh, something's not right here, but they don't know it. It's just none of them had any way of knowing it besides Malshina up until this episode.
Right, but then they played it so straight after that for so long.
It's true.
Well, did they really just retcon it just to a second season?
Yeah, well, I mean, they played it straight for longer than the first season played it straight. I would definitely say that.
And I think because they played it straight, especially at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
it made it very difficult to get into the season because you're left wondering, I don't understand what's happening. Not because of what they're showing is confusing, because you don't understand how it fits into the show.
Correct. I can understand that.
Yeah.
But I think
that it was probably at least partly intentional to keep the audience wondering whether this was ever going to be resolved with the first season or not.
Yeah.
Since it would be perfectly in character for it to just ignore it.
Everything they've done has been definitely intentional. I just don't think it really worked as well as they thought it would. It still works, just not 100%.
Yeah.
I guess it kind of just depends what you go in expecting of a continuation.
Yeah, and there's still a bunch of worthwhile stuff in between all that, so.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's the Die Ranger intro sequence.
Oh my god.
That's some beautiful television
right
there.
That's the best thing this season, I think. That's just hoping that the last episode or second to last or however they're doing it delivers.
Nah, probably not.
Well, you can never tell with OA.
So if this is still a success because of merchandise sales, do you think they'll do a season 3?
Probably.
But what direction would they take it this time?
They still haven't gone into the Sixth Ranger tropes.
If they do a season 3, I kind of hope they completely recast it.
I could see that, though.
Just to get, like, a completely new angle on the whole thing.
Maybe not a Keeper Ranger, but another unofficial Sentai.
Well, whatever. I mean, you know, just not necessarily bringing everybody back from the first two series.
I can see that. So doing Paladin, official recasting for unofficial Sentais?
Something like that. Paladin, you're breathing in the microphone. That's better.
The trick is that for it to be a Key Ranger, it still has to take place in Akihabara.
Well, yeah. But I'm sure there's no shortage of settings within that, you know, area.
No, I think it's something sure to keep just a that one alley.
One at a time, please.
I'm pretty sure it's just that one alley.
Well, yes.
I think they need to keep Akagi. The rest of the cast, though, could be interchanged with anybody for new characters.
See, what they
though.
Need to do...
No,
for
they,
season...
need to, they need to keep Yuko. They need to keep
well,
her.
I love her, but she could be replaced with a new character. She's not absolutely essential.
All they need to do for the third series is to keep Akagi in the mentor role.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
And, you know, if they establish that, then they could have Yuko in one or two episodes just for fun.
I could see it being like in the future after the secret base is closed down and Akagi has got all the Zakuns and he's trying to recruit his own team.
Yeah.
Or do it like the second half of the Zaborgar movie.
God.
Oh, yeah.
It's an even older Akagi.
But yeah, I think if they do a third series, it's going to have to be pretty different because they can only recycle those suit designs so many times for merchandising.
Oh, yeah, true. I think they can only really get away with redoing them once. If they tried to redo them with different helmets again, everybody'd be like, I don't think those extra guns and stuff are going to be enough.
And see, that's kind of why I want to see.
You can repaint each suit once.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
That's why I want to see a new cast for a third series, because then you could actually do the crossover thing with the two Akiba Ranger teams.
Oh, yeah. And
yeah.
It's like Akiba Ranger versus Akiba Ranger.
Yeah.
So this would kind of be, what I'm imagining would kind of be like the transition from Windspector to Soulbrain. Where you
that
have,
is so helpful to the rest
actually,
of us, Fort Max.
You have pretty much the same commander in both, and the previous team shows up a few times.
And you use it to make a reference none of us will get?
Well, that's our Fort Max.
That's our General Pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they still haven't really touched mechas at all.
Right.
Because I don't really count
but you know,
Tasha as...
You know if
well, there
they...
was the Tasha boy.
You know if they do a third series, the mecha is just going to be the Attacher Robo again because they're still trying to sell those toys off.
The thing is, if they made a toy that looked like it'd be fun to play with, maybe they'd sell them.
Well, potentially.
Well,
see, what
they could do about summoning old mechas.
No, all they have to do is, all they got to do is go to, like, motorcycle toys and have them combine into a robot.
So it's the Revenge of the Fallen RC Megazord?
Or, what was it? Was it the Overdrive Megazord that introduced the motorcycles being in the limbs? As
I
optional
think
that
was the Season 1 G2 line.
No, the Overdrive did have, like, you had the armored ranger figures that could be
No,
limbs.
it was Jungle Fury.
Right, Jungle Fury had that motorcycle.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Overdrive had the rangers be able to become limbs.
Awesome.
Sounds painful.
Awesome and Overdrive do not belong together.
No, the Microzords exist.
The Microzords were nice.
Yeah, but the Microzords weren't Overdrive toys. They were just Bokinger toys that got mispackaged.
More or less.
Because if they're Overdrive toys, they would have been terrible.
Right. Paladin.
What?
Breath Sounds.
Jesus Christ!
Paladin has inherited from Fort Max this week.
Playing the part of Fort Max.
Well, it's okay. Gigabeetle can't tell the two of them apart anyway.
And I have a condensing mic too. I can't even like replicate that sound effect.
Oh,
JD, what are you doing over there? That sounds perverted.
Well.
Try to do that.
Yeah, I can't even. See, even if I take the...
Oh, damn. No, still doesn't do it. It sounds like you're breathing. Not like it going through a tunnel or something.
This is going to be the greatest recording.
Of all time.
Edit this recording.
You know, just 5 minutes of all us breathing into our microphones to try to imitate Paladin's breath sound effect.
Then the episode won't be up for a couple weeks.
So far, Christine is the hottest.
What?
Huh?
This link you just posted?
Yeah. Old or young?
Old, obviously. Doy.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, she just looks like someone attacked her with a nail gun.
So, Garo?
Garo!
Garo! The one who f***s in the darkness.
Well, with this week's episode. And it wasn't Guy this week, either.
Mm-mm.
Mickey?
I think Heather got her face burned.
Mickey, let's Garo-ing.
Oh, okay. So Garo episode 11. This episode titled "The Riders of Garo Hate Women."
This episode, you know, this episode's not that great a trail now. They were getting better. They were getting a lot better in Makai Senki. Trust me, they were getting a lot better.
So the episode opens up at the fabulous rotating restaurant on top of the hotel. What's her name?
Rianne,
yes.
Rianne or Leanne, whichever.
She's doing her gold digger routine and picking up
It's not really a routine. I believe that's your everyday life.
Yeah. But well, that's a routine. It's what you do every day.
Yeah.
Gets up in the morning, finds a rich guy.
When you say routine like that, it makes it sound like a purposeful process rather than just, you know, the way you live.
Well, it's a purposeful process for ammunition, which is somewhat...
But I think even if that wasn't the case, she would still be doing the same thing.
Oh, of course.
She would just have a much bigger collection of diamonds in the process.
I don't understand how... Okay, Kuka has the same problem, too, I've noticed. That when they have white people speak English in Japanese shows, they develop this little weird accent that doesn't make any sense.
Because even if the... actor is very fluent in Japanese, because it's not a native-born Japanese person, they want them to speak with a noticeable accent to, you know, stand out and be foreigner.
No, why do they speak English, their natural language, in an accent that's awkward and oddly paced?
Because he's Australian or British or something.
Usually the director doesn't speak English.
Yeah.
Speaking
and so this guy, he talks way. Like this when he talks about his business properties that he is buying.
Yes.
Who talks like that normally? No one.
People who think they are acting. it's not as bad as in Kuga, though. In Kuga, it is really bad.
Well, in Kuga, the problem is the guy is French-Canadian. Yeah, and, you know, he would just talk naturally like that even if he wasn't acting on a TV show.
And we can blame some of that in the loss of audio quality, too, since they filmed the whole show on Scotch tape.
That's true. Are you sure it's a name brand tape, though?
No. It was filmed in very good quality. It was edited on Scotch tape.
There you go.
I still don't think it was a name brand tape, is what I'm saying.
They took it to the arts and crafts room of grade one. And they said, here, use your tape and put these pieces together for us.
It went down to Dollar General.
Anyway, elsewhere at the whorehouse where every other woman in the city works.
Well, the horror ones, anyway.
It's the horror house.
Horror house.
The what?
Oh!
Have you been to this horror house? Whore house? Horror house?
We made this joke before.
Yeah. I think we did, but this is... But that's before we knew about this, so this is better than that, and we need to use the joke again, but in a better context. We unfortunately blew our load so early. It's like we masturbated and then went to the bar, and then it was like, oh hey, there's a girl here that wants us, or a guy, and now we've already done that. So crap, we'll just have to do it again.
Yeah, I'm not really seeing the downside here, JD.
Do what?
I'm not really seeing the downside here, JD.
No, it's not bad. It's all good. So that's why I'm saying it's okay that we use the joke again.
A bloody businessman staggers into the brothel with no explanation at all as to why he looks like he's about to die.
I think the implication is he's given up his entire life, his family and whatnot. I think the implication is he killed them.
Yeah, because that is what he says.
Or he just ate some fries with a lot of ketchup on them, and
yeah,
no, really,
I don't know. That's legit, man.
We've all had days like that.
I think he murdered his family.
I think he killed them.
Yes, I think he killed them quite brutally.
No, we've all had days where the ketchup just kind of goes out of control.
Well, yes, but...
That anyway. Ketchup is quite a drug.
He goes to visit the queen whore, and she digivolves into his ideal woman, and then she eats his soul. With tits.
But hey, he got some boobs, like, you know.
Yeah, if you gotta die anyway, at least get some motorboat action on the way out.
Says like a dude that doesn't have live-in boobs. So if you had live-in boobs, then that wouldn't be a problem, because then you'd be like, oh, well, I don't need to get motorboated. I don't know.
So elsewhere, Takeru is still stalking the flower girl who's still totally 15.
Boobs can save your life.
Are you sure she's even 15?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
You know, we kind of joked that this was going to get kind of petty.
Creepy? Icky?
Yeah, and I was hoping that was joking.
No.
No.
So, while he's sitting in the dark staring at her, not creepily at all, the other Mekai Knight, whose name I can't remember because he's so pointless to the series right now.
Okay, Mickey, here's an easy way to remember. Now, you just noted how he's, like, pointless to the series and, you know, he really has no personality traits. He's just like Gosei Black, whose name he shares. He's Augury.
And he comes up and says, hey, the writers realize they don't fit in anywhere, so they're writing me out of the show for a couple episodes.
They didn't know what the fuck to do with me, so they're up.
I'm thinking more it might actually lead to him doing something.
No.
Oh, that's way optimistic, Ken. I don't know, man.
No, we'll get to this in a few minutes, but I think there's a secondary motivation for moving him out for a couple episodes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Well, not specifically that, but...
Yeah.
Well, anyway, he says something pointless to Caro, then he wanders off. I think he's really just there to be a board for Takeru to bounce his dialogue off of.
So he's not, like, talking to himself.
Yes.
Hi, I'm on my way out, but the writer said I should come by and talk to you for a minute.
You've had too many lines in this scene. I have to balance it.
Well, you're not talking to yourself like you're f***ing crazy.
All
right, cool.
Well,
that's great.
I'm out. Splinter's Dungeon. God damn it, why can't I remember this bitch's name? Rion. That's right.
Rion.
Yeah.
Yeah, so back at the base, she's taking that diamond ring that she's got and turning it to a bullet, which is kind of awesome, but...
Hmm.
And she has a magic wand. Has she always had that?
Yeah.
All
Mekai that's it's a standard Mekai Priest gear.
Like,
their magic
like,
brush.
I'm Mekai Priest, I mean. Like, knights have blades, priests have brushes.
Right, you get it at level 1.
Men have penises.
No, they're Barai's a priest also, so he has.
So
a
he has a vagina?
No, he has a no. Is that?
No. He could. We don't know, and we don't judge.
Oh yes, we do.
Anyway, so she and Ryoga are having a conversation about how she's a gold digging whore.
He calls her.
And she flat out tells him. Yeah, I don't date poor people because poor people suck. I'm all about money.
You know, I wish that was I wish that was paraphrasing, but it's not.
No, she said something about scrubs or I don't know.
And it's like the implication is, no, you can't stick it in.
She's like, no, I don't want your number. No, I'm not going to give you mine.
Even though we live in the same house.
Yeah.
Do they live there? Have we seen that?
And then she said something about a ring on it.
A Rigo sleeps on park benches. I don't know.
And then if you want it, put a ring on it. And then there was dancing.
What?
Meanwhile, back at the brothel, Gary Pearly's lady is showing up to...
What
the hell did she throw? She threw something at this bitch. I can't remember what it was.
The picture of the guy that Rian was...
That's right, yes.
Hustling.
She basically led the Karmic whore to Rian's... sugar daddy to lure Rian into the trap.
No, I think that was just coincidental.
Well, then why would she target that guy to begin with? Oh, that's right.
He had a diamond.
Because he was making problems for the concierge group. That's why she did it.
Yeah.
Correct.
Now I'm remembering. So, Rian goes
Mickey, microphone.
What?
What?
Well, supposedly she was going to give the ring back.
Maybe.
Maybe. There might have been a...
Said she summoned the dolphin.
Yeah, she goes back to go extort more money from this man. But then he dumps her and runs away to the whores. And she follows him. Through the use of her special magic navvy. And she gets stopped at the door of the brothel by the security whores, I guess. They're not really bouncers. Are they bouncies?
No, I think they're too small for bouncing.
Okay. But speaking of things that aren't too small for bouncing, the businessman's ideal woman is your mom.
Wow.
See, I heard her as Japanese Roseanne Barr, and I think that works.
Needless to say, he likes some meat on his bones, and Rian does not have that.
Which I think is kind of fantastic that they went there, showing that, you know, some people like curvy women.
Need a little cushion for the pushing?
The bigger the waistband, the deeper the quicksand.
Mm.
So he comes back out after getting his rocks off, and he completely just blanks Rian as he comes out. Who are you? What?
Who the...
Oh. Like, oh, you're that bitch.
Oh, that's right. You're that bitch that just wanted my money. And then all the prostitutes laugh at her for being money-obsessed.
Boy, there's a sentence I never thought I would hear in my life.
And I just really kind of love that scene because, like, the villains are calling her out for being a terrible person. And they're right.
And they're so true. Yeah, that's exactly
And the bad thing is, like, she realizes it, too. She's like, oh, I really kind of am terrible, aren't I? It's like you can tell that's the reason she's so f***ing mad. It's not that her, the guy, like, just dumped her in front of all these prostitutes. It's just like,
she just got owned by prostitutes.
It's like, I am a really terrible person. Wow.
So she comes back home in a rage and slaps the invitation down on, Inspector Clouseau's desk.
I like that Zara, but I was like, wait a second, this thing smells like horror. It's like she didn't even realize that when she went all the way to their den.
This smells like horror. Like, I know, it came from a brothel. No.
No. Not whore. Horror.
Horror.
Oh.
The important thing here, though, is that Rian, being the woman, was too emotional to detect what was going on there. But a chunk of metal that talks instantly knew, oh, bad guys.
Well, wow, that's kind of his job anyway.
A piece of jewelry that is smarter than her.
Oh, God.
That is what Zarba is. It's one thing he can sense that sort of thing.
Not like he has any other purpose in the show, you know.
Yet.
He's like, all I do is sit on here on the f***ing desk.
I was giving Kageyama a paycheck.
It's a good desk, though. It's made of mahogany.
Doesn't smell like whore. Whore? No, whore.
Make up your mind, damn it.
The desk does not smell like horror. Horror? No. Whore. But this letter smells like horror. Horror? No. Horror.
But who's on first? Zurion goes up to the...
Freeze it all, okay?
To pout. And unfortunately, Ryoga's up there just trying to take a nap. So she comes up and kicks him in the balls to get him out of her way. And then she says, okay, you can call me a bitch if you want. Well, yeah, you kind of are a bitch. You just kicked me for no reason. But no, he goes up and takes the cinnamon roll off her ear and puts it up to his ear to listen to the ocean.
We're stole.
Oh, this pastry will tell me about your life.
You were in my Panera recently.
It says you're a heartless bitch.
I think the implication is that she had a hard time growing up.
Really? Because I thought it was everybody saying they loved her and shit. Isn't that what it said?
Yeah, basically.
Well, I mean, the implication that she's leaving is that she's probably had, you know, kind of a rough up, you know, not necessarily
strict. Like a strict upbringing?
Not necessarily strict upbringing.
That would make sense, I think.
That she was poor when she was a kid and that she really hates.
Oh, so all she had was love. She had an overabundance of love and an underabundance of money. So now she wants the reverse. True love, give me money.
Something like that.
I've stocked up enough love to last a lifetime, but...
I heard this Biggie Smalls song. Get money. I was like, not the life for me.
So Ryoga lies and tells her that she's not a bitch.
See, Ryoga's a lot nicer than Koga. Because I think Koga would have just told her that.
Well, you know it's because you're a cunt.
No, JD, this is Japan. They just say, it's because you're a woman.
Oh, right.
Mm.
Well, it would be because of your vagina.
So, they come downstairs and they give the orders to go investigate the brothel. And Rion's like, I'm coming too. Because they totally won't recognize you.
They get the best disguises ever for it.
So,
they have pretty awesome get-ups in this episode.
So they raid the closet vault for double.
They're not using it.
They get dicked up in their finest wind scale and go hit the whorehouse.
They both pull it off pretty well, I think.
Yeah.
Well, they do, yes. And so they enter, what? It's like a lobby? A waiting room? Did you wait till your number's called before you go f*** her?
Mm-hmm. It's the fluff room.
Oh, okay. Well, they figure out some green fire spot and see, like, oh, all the bitches are monsters. Because women who have sex are monsters.
No,
that,
I think it's just...
That does seem to be
the
implication.
Men are all human, though. We should save them. So they walk around putting spell tags on the men, knocking them out, and misogynizing the rest of the women.
With their fists.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, they're demons, so...
Yes, they but...
Added human.
If you were just flipping channels...
if you didn't know the context, that would be unfortunate.
You pass by a room with two men beating up a whole bunch of women, left and right.
Him roundhouse kicking them in.
We call that Tuesday in Oklahoma.
Well, there's no chicken wire in front of the band, so.
Mm.
So Rion sneaks off into the champagne room, I guess. And she gets into a terrible CGI fight with Rose from Street Fighter Alpha. Ah, Ken got the joke. I knew someone would.
Hey, somebody laughed.
Yeah, I did.
Well, of course, Rion's just a woman, so she can't beat her. So Ryoga has to come in and do the fight for real.
Just like in Man of Steel, where Lois can't run, so, you know, someone had to hold her hand.
Seriously?
Yeah, that happened in one part, and then it happened to Jenny, too. She couldn't run either. So Lawrence Fishburne had to hold her hand so she could run.
Wow, I didn't even notice that.
Yep.
God damn it.
This isn't as bad a CGI fight as some fights, so.
Well, no, it's not.
It's just a kind of like a
It's more convincing than when the three of them were in the suit.
Yeah.
Well, that's because it's shorter.
Yes.
There's less time to scrutinize it.
So, well, Rihanna's standing in the background watching the dull surprise look on her face.
She has one awesome moment here, though.
Well, wait, I'm getting to that.
Okay.
She's so absorbed by watching Ryoga save her that she doesn't notice another whore walk up and start attacking her from behind. Which is, I guess, all that fancy combat training she's had to never watch her back. But she's able to turn lemons into lemonade as she shoots through one monster and into the main monster, which
not
is
just, not
awesome.
Not just through the monster, through her skull.
Yeah.
Just point blank, put it at her forehead. Bam.
Yeah, somehow, I guess the main script writer left the room for to go to the bathroom, and someone came in and like, wrote some awesome in for her real quick. Turn the page over. Now, where were we?
All right. Back to this horror business. Horror? Oh.
So they leave the room, and they see the American businessman out there, and Rihanna's like, oh, the diamond. I guess I gotta use that. Oh, well, see ya.
I'm just gonna totally give it back to him for realsies.
Totally.
Yeah, we all buy that.
Meanwhile, back in subplot B, Takara finally makes his move on the jailbait, and she's into it.
Would it be creepy if I fondled you while we looked at the moon? Well, that sounds cool. Strange person that I don't know why I trust.
Way to go, Paladin.
Kane comes.
What the hell is going on?
So then we get to my favorite part of the episode where Rian and Ryoga are walking home. And Rian asks him, am I empty on the inside? And he's like, yeah, I can fill you.
No, he says, well, if you're empty, you just need something to fill you.
I could fill your void.
This is one of those things where you have to wonder if the subbers are just having fun.
I don't know. That's what I was wondering on Twitter earlier, actually.
Okay.
And then she goes and screws everything up and says, you know what? You want to put a baby inside my vagina? Like, God damn it, that is not how you do sexy talk. That just killed it. I'm done. Maybe another day.
Ryuka's just like, peace.
Crazy.
I'm looking at the credits, and this is the only episode this particular writer has written by themselves. Probably want to keep it that way.
Boy, you take the training wheels off, and sometimes they just fall the f*** over.
And this is probably the weakest episode of the series so far, I think.
I mean, it was fun, but for all the wrong reasons. I mean, it's pretty obvious the writer has never had a girlfriend. Or he has one that dumped him because he sucks.
Well, like I said, I think the first season almost treated women better than this episode. And if XP will know that saying something.
Yeah.
It was much, much better in Makai Senki because, you know, you had Jobby being f***ing awesome throughout any time she showed up. And you had Rekka, and she was a lot better in Makai Senki than she was in Red Requiem.
Requiem.
Yeah.
Red Requiem.
You want to say Red Rum when I say that?
There's no positive female characters in this episode at all.
No.
Even the flower girl was like, oh, I need any man.
And it's weird because Rian is usually a decently supportive female character in this series.
She's been decent up until this one episode where she goes, ba-ba-ba!
The one episode focusing on her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
God damn it, Japan.
Good job, Japan.
It's Japan. That's kind of what they do.
Hey,
and so it looks like next episode, we get an episode focusing on making fun of gay people.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's called Trap, and it's got a dude wearing an earring and onk hair. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're going there.
I was thinking more of the fact that they were dealing with the reporter lady.
Mm.
Was that the reporter lady?
You can still go there.
It's the news anchor.
Oh, actually, I thought that was a dude.
No.
Well, we don't know for sure.
Well,
I mean,
it could be. Maybe, and it's called a trap?
Well, we know she has two sides to her.
Yeah.
Maybe there's, like, digitally composited her face onto a male stunt double or something, because she looks really manly when she's kicking ass.
She has a penis.
She's kicking Ryuga halfway across the room.
Yeah, I'm thinking like Miss America style manliness there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, regardless, yeah, next week is plot. Back to plot.
Plot is good.
Plot is very good.
So, should we get our jam project song next week or the week after?
week after next if they do a jam project song, yeah.
Oh, they have to do a jam project song. It won't be a Garo series if they don't do a jam project song.
Heard something about it before now.
That I only remember like hearing about the second series. I mean, Makai Senki's second opening when it came out.
Superhero time.
Well, I'm sure a wizard did it.
Ruining jokes for everyone. It's time for Power Playback. Look for Power Playback every Friday on Twitter at superhero_time.
So, about Power Playback this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks.
Who the hell is responsible for picking this episode?
Diddy?
Huh? What?
I'm pretty sure
I'm gonna go with that.
Okay, yeah, we'll go for it, Max. Never mind.
Okay, that's a better choice.
I mean, I suggested Jetman, but I don't know that I was responsible for the particular episode.
Yeah, the particular episode, that was on me.
You seem pretty enthusiastic about it, JD.
And I was
still Jetman.
I remembered
the episode is kind of f***ed up.
I think what happened was when I watched this, I was in the middle of Jetman. And, you know, I was in my Jetman binge. And it probably happened in the middle of it, and I was just like, "Oh, okay." Went to the next one, and then it was all awesome, and
like I said,
how would it be in the middle of the Jetman binge unless you watch stuff out of order?
Anyway, as I was okay.
Dear God, man, literal f***ing middle.
Okay, so anyway.
Jeez.
This episode is really well regarded anyway because it comes like right smack dab in the middle of the final arc.
Yeah,
and like,
that's
what the doing in the final arc.
That's what I'm saying. It's kind of like it was just in there, and I was like, okay, well that happened. Can we get back to what's going on? And then so it's like I must have forgot how bad it was.
That's why I was kind of. I was kind of like, I'm not really so sure, but okay. Last week.
Should have gone for building dimension or whatever.
Well, anyway, Paladin.
Son of a bitch. I
this is by special request over Twitter, so.
And who, so I can know who to blame.
Let me look.
No, never mind. It doesn't matter.
Oh, I want to know.
Let's see. Which feet is that on?
Your left foot.
Charles N. Chaos.
Oh.
Who?
No idea.
Exactly.
He's one of our followers.
And listeners, apparently.
That says all I need to know.
I'm also supposed to, dub in the Attack of the Killer Tomatoes cartoon theme behind you doing the summary, but I'm not.
Sorry.
Oh, don't worry. It's still getting in here somewhere. Because this episode really reminded me of nothing so much as Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. Not the cartoon, though, the movie.
This episode was edited for shit.
It really was. Like
there was similar production values between this and that movie.
Like, there are points in this episode I'm like, what the f*** is happening?
Why does Raito keep teleporting to different areas?
it's like they so abruptly cut between stuff. It's like, there was... What?
The problem is they shot 78 minutes of footage for this episode. It was originally going to be the five-part ending of the series.
Well, overzealous. Can we just find a way to blame Inoue?
He didn't write the episode.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Can we just still find a way to write it? Blame him?
I say we still blame him.
Sure.
And Fort Mac.
I like how Raita's direction of the episode was, you can't go far enough with your overacting. Don't dial it back at all.
You are incredibly f***ing afraid of tomatoes. You're so afraid of tomatoes, you make Guy afraid of tomatoes. Guy is afraid of nothing. I'm sorry, we have to be quiet.
The episode starts with Raita in a greenhouse munching on a tomato, which is already kind of questionable in my mind. Who just picks a tomato off the vine and eats it?
People who like tomatoes.
Wouldn't Raita move more like to fry it first, though?
I've seen people eat raw tomatoes.
There's not enough butter on this.
Who doesn't eat raw tomato?
I don't. Tomatoes
what?
Are gross.
Yeah, I don't like tomatoes by themselves. They're fine as an ingredient, though.
The hell is wrong with you people?
Itself, it basically, it's like a fruit with little pockets full of boogers and snot all throughout it.
You people are weird.
I don't eat whole tomatoes. I eat them on a sandwich.
It's like eating somebody's nose.
And you're going to tell me you've never done that before?
No, that's more of a straight people thing.
So Akko accidentally spills his tomatoes, which he considers unforgivable, and then he starts seeing everything as tomato.
Because the booger
this
says
right. He tries to rape her face with a tomato, though.
Repeatedly.
Eat it! And then the booger says, you're afraid of tomatoes, and he's afraid of tomatoes.
And there are tomatoes everywhere.
Oh, what a pity. Tomatoes eating the city.
Holy shit! Oh, and, that was beautiful.
And then comes the Great Tomato King.
Which,
it really looks like he should be waiting for Linus on Halloween.
Yes, exactly.
That's my first thought, too.
Somebody got a hold of some bad LSD and watched the Charlie Brown special. And, I mean, they had just watched, Revenge of the Killer Tomatoes, and then, or Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, whatever, and then, like, watched the Charlie Brown special afterwards. Yeah. Bad drugs, man. Bad drugs.
So, a couple of the, what do they call the foot soldiers in Jetman again? I can never remember.
They have a real generic name, isn't it? It's like thugs or
Fort Max.
I don't remember. They hardly ever were mentioned by name. So
the putties.
And they are tomatoes too, so Raita is horrified. And he tries to run away from it and, like we said, teleports all around the city.
Through the magic of crappy editing.
Then he steps into an elevator in a desperate attempt and suffers a tomato shower.
I suspect this is what people were... that this had recently been watched when Big O Season 2 was being written.
Yeah, I had that same thought on Twitter earlier. They must... somebody on Big O must have really loved tomatoes.
How would you... Never
tomato
mind, I don't want to know.
Be an obscene, unfortunate euphemism somehow.
I don't know, a tomato shower just doesn't sound sexy to me.
No, that's more sounds like.
I mean,
more sounds like you got skunked.
I mean, that seems like it would just be a lot of bruising and
Oh, you mean with the actual? Yeah, that would be no. That would hurt.
Yeah. I guess that's if the tomatoes were a little bit overripe, they wouldn't hurt as much because they would just splat as they hit you, but. Then that's a whole other thing, and
Yeah, I'm thinking of a tomato juice shower, though. I mean, that's like a whole.
Ew.
Wouldn't.
I'm imagining like the scene from Flashdance, where she pulls the cord, as tomato juice that falls all over.
That would be hilarious. That's what we need to do. We need to do CG replacement of famous scenes of films where there's water and replace it with tomato juice.
Could you do it with Carrie?
No, you have to reverse it with Carrie. You reverse it and you make it water.
That'd be some really good video editing.
Wouldn't it?
Well, for it to be water, she'd have to say the word water. She said, I don't know, it'd be slime.
Right.
Oh, yeah, well.
We went there, kids. Do our listeners even get that? I guess they
no.
would.
I doubt it.
Maybe.
I think most of our listeners are too young for that. I'm not sure Fort Max even gets it.
No, Fort Max.
But our listeners still get carded.
You're still bitter about that.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, Mickey, don't feel so bad. Ken gets unasked for senior citizen discounts.
But at least he gets money off.
That's true. Maybe that's not so bad after all.
The other jetmen want to figure out what exactly is the f*** wrong with Rika.
Well, I don't think they have time for that, so maybe they should just figure out what's going on with him today.
What's your problem this week, fatty?
Best they can determine is his grandmother scared the f*** out of him when he was a kid and he had pictures of the Tomato King.
And this is like the worst grandmother ever. Like, oh, don't you remember?
You
were
wet
scared
the bed.
Of the Tomato King. You pissed your bed so many times. Oh, you're just rolling around in your soil and filth. Oh, you were so sad. You were a dirty boy when you were scared.
Well, great, JD. Now you just made it creepy.
How could we make it less creepy? It's superhero time.
And he's like, thanks, Grandma, for telling my would-be girlfriend that.
No, he marries someone else. It's okay.
Yeah.
And that's not a spoiler, damn it. It's like 20 years old.
Yeah, totally.
So by this time, the other jetmen have found the Tomato King and start to fight and almost get tentacle raped by him.
Holy crap!
And they bring out the Jet Garuda and pilot it with just the four of them, so Rita can finally deal with his issues.
Wasn't it three of them?
Three of them.
It was just Ryu got a guy and Kaori. Because Akko was trying to help Guy Rita.
By taking him back to the greenhouse and force-feeding him the tomatoes.
Well, he did it to her earlier. Tomato rape
exactly
gangs.
Exactly sure that wouldn't just cause more problems for him down the line.
It was a completely failed garden.
They were rape tomatoes.
Rape tomatoes.
So Rita scarfs down a bunch of the tomatoes. Finally gets the balls to go back and fight, and they kill the Great Tomato King.
Now,
you're kind of glancing over how they killed Tomato King.
Yeah, because I'm thinking, how many Sentai super monsters have been killed by being eaten to death?
Is that a euphemism?
I mean, that's got to be a fairly uncommon method of defeat.
Yeah.
Well, there's one.
And to say that Rita ate tomatoes, it is a complete understatement, because I mean he was like double fisting eating tomatoes, like shoving tomatoes in his face, like all the tomatoes in his face. All
yeah, heartburn and swamp ass for weeks.
The tomatoes. Like a salad shooter the next day.
Well, believe me, at that point you're better off with the raw tomatoes than cooked. If he'd ate that much cooked tomatoes, it really would have been swamp gas.
Yeah.
But it's all okay in the end because there's another tomato growing on the plant that he devoured.
Well, and that was they even said the red one was a fake. They're like, haha, we fooled you because tomato plants don't have feelings. He's like, oh, well, thank you for doing that, though, because it pushed me over the edge. I'm like, oh, wait, there is a tomato on it. Oh. Sorry we had to, like, lie and f***ing manipulate you in order to get you to eat tomatoes again.
But even Guy likes the tomato in the end.
They must have slipped Guy something.
Must
all be good. They must have slipped Guy something, because I don't see any way he's not
he's
punching
far
people.
Too pleasant.
Well, I mean, Guy, that was better at this point in the series, right?
Who knows better? I think we've had enough of this shit.
I think it was more that he was getting plenty of entertainment from watching Rita's condition.
That's why he was happy. Someone else was suffering.
Yeah.
Of course, that makes sense.
So yeah, even when it's kind of f***ed up, that man's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's this episode.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I'd be fine with the plot for this episode if it wasn't executed so sloppily.
Mm-hmm.
And that editing is sloppy as hell. I could barely follow the episode along.
It's very, very 90s.
I don't even think it's fair to say that, because there's other stuff from the same time period that's a lot better.
Before that time period, even.
Yeah.
In the same,
series, even.
Probably the week
the episodes
after that.
Before and after it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what should we expect? Fort Max picked the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm wondering if Zoo Ranger got delayed a week or something, and they're like, oh shit, we have to get something in to fill time.
Quick, the tomatoes.
I know, tomatoes.
Quick, we'll paint this round ball red, and you can jump into this green jumpsuit. There, we have a monster.
They'd ordered, like, something, you know, similar to name tomatoes, but they ended up getting a whole shipment of tomatoes to the set, you know, to the set, and they're like, well, what the hell? I'm like, hey, I know.
Salsa!
We'll write a filler episode.
I saw this great American Christmas, Halloween special the other week.
So, the other day, I was watching this show. Charlie Green or something. Oh, man. And in it, they had the Great Pumpkin King. So let's do that with tomatoes.
How original.
That sounds excellent.
Well, it's not like Jedman was all that original to begin with.
We'll make an elaborate costume. No, we'll just put a dude in green tights and throw him in there.
Gotchaman. Oh, hey, which, you know, speaking of which, they actually did put up the trailer for the Gotchaman movie this week. I forgot about that.
Yes!
And yeah,
and
the
it looks
studio,
pretty amazing.
And it yeah, looks- I don't know why the Wikipedia article doesn't mention it, but it's a studio that did Zaborgar.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You'd think the Wikipedia article would mention that.
Well, Wikipedia.
It's led by Takeru.
I could be into this.
This might not be a complete disaster.
Won't get it till next April.
This might not suck. When
well,
is it
this
out?
Might just be
it
amazing.
Go either way.
Yeah.
They also did the Yatterman movie.
That means nothing
that
to me.
I don't know.
I've heard decent things about it.
Way to go, Fort Max.
Wow. They did this other thing that I don't know about and therefore can't comment on whether or not it's good in reference to this. You're welcome.
Apparently the director is the same person who did the live-action Grave of the Fireflies.
Oh, God.
What? No.
Don't bring that movie up.
Why would someone do that?
make a live-action Grave of the Fireflies movie? Yeah.
That's how distressing that news was.
I know! Grave of the Fireflies through your sound. Oh, God. I don't want to think about that movie.
Which live-action version?
Oh, God! Oh, no.
There was one from 2005 and one from 2008.
What the f***? Like 2 years apart?
What?
The
f- Do they feel the need to reboot the series to attract a new crowd?
a younger audience? Wait, what the f***? How'd you do that?
That kind of shakes your confidence in the project, doesn't it?
Not necessarily. It's just...
Why would you do that thing?
What? Oh... Now this is suddenly depressing.
We start with prosthetic anuses, and now we've got like
Where are the fireflies?
Do you think they play Jenga in Grave of the Fireflies?
We were so enthusiastic with our prosthetic assholes, too.
Okay, so I had a thought.
That's what happens when you open strong.
I had a thought the other day, and I'm not saying this is a definite thing, but... So, don't they try to usually have two females in Power Rangers each season?
Sometimes.
They kind of stop the... making male rangers, female rangers in PR after Saban, actually.
Well, there wasn't really a need to with that many, because.
Yeah. Well, I mean, stuff like they didn't try with.
I think Wild Force was the last one, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was last. Yeah. So, but like they didn't try with Ninja Storm or Dino Thunder or.
Oh, okay.
Jungle Fury or whatnot. The other ones already had two girls, so.
Because I'm thinking about, you know, Go Busters, and I'm wondering if they're just going to keep one girl on that team.
Probably.
Well, that was a pointless discussion. Hey, at least I realized it was pointless. Sorry. Jeez.
A little bit too late, though.
Well, I couldn't have... Bastards. You should have known before you asked the question it was stupid.
I didn't ask the question. I was just like listening to both sides of it.
No, see, JD, what you do, when you get in that situation where partway through you realize the question's pointless, you just press on with it anyway with complete conviction.
Through, when you realize it's stupid, you just stop asking.
Yeah, I just trail off.
Something.
No. You keep and press on with it with complete conviction to cover it.
Right. Totally. Just stay committed.
Exactly.
Stay committed.
I think we should be committed.
Oh boy.
So next week.
Oh crap.
Still don't
anyone have any ideas?
We still don't have any movies, Chewy.
No. Fort Max, when are those movies coming out?
Oh, I don't fucking
know. GoBusters Returned has been translated.
Yay. So it's waiting on what?
I don't know if Pete's done translation check on it yet. If he has, it's probably waiting with the pile of other stuff at Ingus.
So, all right. I'm glad we cleared that up.
You know, JD and Fort Mac is one of my favorite dynamics on the show.
We have the best worst relationship.
Like, I would listen to a podcast that's just the two of you talking to each other. Yeah.
I think one of us would have ended up killing the other.
That's why I say we couldn't do it live, because we would just f***ing kill each other.
So, next week...
Any ideas? Anyone?
I'd suggest
a few, but I'm probably banned from picking at this point.
Well, yeah.
If I haven't been banned from picking things yet...
This is a good point.
You know, I went to try to go download some of those Time Force episodes. Is just the direct download, is that the only thing that's up, or is anything up for the Time Ranger stuff? Because I tried to do the torrent, and it was like, nope, we don't know what you're talking about. I think I tried to do the direct download, too, and that was still like, no.
They're pretty old.
So they're just gone? Where do I get them?
Their time
ran out. Perfect.
You have to go.
Insert sound clip here.
I have the episodes on my hard drive. Well, I don't know if there are any hard subbed ones, but if there are, I don't have them. But I have the soft subs, so.
They never make his hard drives like the warehouse for Indiana Jones.
Soft subs are fine, because since I have to like wait on rides at work, that's what I was going to watch. So that would be awesome.
Okay.
They never released hard sub versions that I know of anyway.
Okay.
Thanks. You just put that.
What are we watching?
I don't know, everybody keeps talking about other stuff and we're not getting anywhere.
Yeah. Glad I can help.
All right, we're watching Gal Ranger.
Okay. Episode.
Okay.
Which episode?
Whichever one y'all think is good.
Well, we already watched Plight of the Chicken.
5, 4, 38, 36.
That might have been the one we watched.
This is the singing one again.
Oh, we just did the singing episode, didn't we?
Yes.
That was Wild Force, wasn't it?
The same difference. I mean, it's close enough.
It's pretty much the same difference, actually.
Oh, shit.
Time Force?
Geki Ranger?
Did we just do Time Force, too?
No, we've just suggested it for the last 3 weeks.
I keep suggesting it to no avail. I continue to...
Any of the Rider shows we haven't done in quite a while?
Rider's so hard to do, though, because builds on so much.
Which episodes were you trying to get, JD?
We could do a movie.
I want whatever you got. I'll take what you got, because... I mean,
has there ever been a good Rider movie? That wasn't double?
We're waiting for something good. We'll be here for another 3 hours.
I like Mega Max, but...
One through six, if they move to a batch torrent.
Oh, okay. So this is everything?
1 through 6.
I'm sorry, 1 through 6.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about 7 through 12?
Yeah. Is that another batch somewhere?
No, those individual torrents are still up.
So basically, has there ever been a
good... Is anybody seeding them, though?
Has there ever been a good ride?
Yes.
Four double is the question.
Yeah,
no.
That's my question.
No. No.
Well,
No.
Well, there's Shin. We watched that already.
Yeah, we did that. Yeah, Deno had good movies, but most of them came out after Double.
Well, yeah, I guess let's think about it.
Have we done Zedo yet?
No, and we're not going to. We already did Jay. Not like anybody can tell the difference.
Okay, what's a writer show we haven't tapped from Showa?
Cross Amazon?
Amazon.
Is any of Amazon available?
Fort Max?
All of it, I think.
Really? Cool. Let's check out some Amazon.
Let's do episode 1 so we get something that makes sense by Showa era standards.
I was going to say, that's no guarantee.
By Showa era standards, it'll be boring.
Miles may vary on that.
You know what? I offered Time Force, but you know what? So that because you didn't want it, you're going to have to watch Amazon. So shut the
Yeah, I haven't seen any
Time Force or Time Ranger.
It's kind of the first thing that springs to mind.
I want to watch Time Ranger, but I'm also watching Time Force. But I was suggesting Time Force for the purposes of this.
Let's compromise and watch Time Time.
Force Ranger Force. Ranger Force.
I know. I'll do.
Power Sentai Ranger Force.
Super Ranger Force.
Fort Max, you're encoding some Robotech right now, right?
Just the special. That's all there is on DVD.
So just upload that. We'll watch that raw and.
Oh God.
That's not the dog, right?
Yes.
The dog in the detective outfit.
Yeah, I really want to see that actually. but ideally with subs.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are we doing?
I'd be fine with Amazon.
What episode?
1.
1.
That was good.
Okay, this will probably be terrible.
Mm-hmm. I've never
but
seen
at least we'll be educating ourselves about something we didn't know about.
Exactly.
I suppose.
It'd be a learning experience.
Well,
and even if it's terrible, we'll make it funny.
It can't be worse than some of the stuff we've done.
It can't be worse than Armor Hero.
I was going to say, Armor Hero has got to be the low point. Well, no. Actually, the low point of anything we've done with Godzilla.
Paladin is like our resident grumpy cat.
Yeah, but Godzilla doesn't really count because we didn't watch anything. I think if we had watched something for Godzilla, it might have worked better.
Well, I think
y'all didn't watch Godzilla any
movie? No, we just didn't have a discussion about Godzilla when none of us actually seen any.
I think I advocated watching American Godzilla. But nobody was on board with that.
That's a shame.
No figure.
I like American Godzilla.
Final Wars one day, though, because Final Wars is fun.
Final Wars is kind of nuts, yeah.
Yeah, it's got a Russian submarine commander with a katana.
Well, what else would a Russian submarine commander be carrying?
He's like the most live-action anime character ever.
It's why I'm kind of nervous about them doing another American Godzilla. It's like, they're going to try to make this too... going to try to take it too seriously, I think. Instead of being fun.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Go to tokupodcast.com for show notes and to listen to previous episodes. Find us on iTunes or download our Android app at tfradio.net/android. Follow us on Twitter for show updates, weekly power playback, and more at superhero_time. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2013.
RFC is up with an apology.
Is it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least the audio, it seems.
Apology for the lateness or apology for content?
See, read this week's RFC. Apologies, Vienna Boys Choir, Nation of Cuba, Marvel, DC, MIT, Cuban Decency.
Oh, okay. That's that.
RFC sounds interesting this week.
I might actually need to listen to it this time.
I don't remember. What did we do to the Vienna Boys Choir?
JD, any idea?
I have no idea. I can neither confirm nor deny anything that may have happened to an underage male.
You'll have to tune in to find out.
Yeah, it's look, a lot of that night was a blur, and I think I blacked out at some point along the way.
Yeah, I think I saw a goat at one point, but
may have just been your mom.
A goat sea? A sea goat? A goat sea?
A sea goat, yes.
But was it prosthetic?
A prosthetic sea goat.
What did you guys do?
Well, that's kind of what we're talking about. We don't really remember.
Yeah, it was all kind of a blur.
Were you drunk?
All I remember is it was not my idea.
Yeah, look, nobody's going to buy that. That's not going to stand up in court.
No.
It's worked before.
Superhero Time! 次回もシャバドビー! 止めてみろ!
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.